So we have finished discussing about precession. Now we go to the next topic. This is a lecture on Eurofracs, articles 562 to 612 of the Civil Code. Usufruct is defined as a real right by virtue of which a person is given the right to enjoy the property of another with the obligation of preserving its form and substance, unless the title constituting it or the law provides otherwise. And the basis of this definition is Article 562 of the Civil Code. Therefore, based on this definition of Article 562 on definition of usufruct, there are two requisites of usufruct, the essential and the accidental. The essential requisite is the right to enjoy the property of another, while the accidental requisite is the obligation of preserving the form and substance of such property. The latter is accidental because the title constituting the usufruct or the law may otherwise provide, as in the case of abnormal usufructs. And that is according to Manresa's explanation as to why is the latter accidental. And how do you distinguish usufruct from ownership? While ownership has for its attributes, one, the right to enjoy, ius utende, ius fruende, and ius abutende, and right to dispose, that's ius disponende, and the right to vindicate or recover the property, ius vindicande, usufruct is limited merely to the enjoyment of the property, that is, ius utendi and ius fruendi. So that's the distinguishing factor of usufruct from ownership. So usufruct refers only to the enjoyment of property, which is ius utendi or ius fruendi. And how do you distinguish usufruct from lease? Usufruct is distinguished from lease in the following manner. As to the nature of the right, usufruct is always a real right, whereas lease becomes a real right only when registered. As to constitution, usufruct is constituted by law, by acts inter vivos or mortis causa of private persons, or by prescription, while lease, as a rule, is constituted by contract. And the difference between lease and usufruct is that as to the person constituting it, in usufruct, the person constituting it is the owner, while in lease, the person constituting it need not be the owner, because sometimes it could be also the lessee, and he's just subleasing it. As to extent, usufruct includes the right to use and to enjoy the fruits, that is, ius utendi and ius fruendi, of the thing, whereas lease is more limited. As to repairs, the usufructuary is responsible for ordinary repairs, whereas the lessee, is not. So again, as to repairs, the usufructuary is responsible for ordinary repairs, whereas the lessee is not. And as to taxes, the usufructuary is responsible for taxes on the fruits, whereas the lessee in the lease is not responsible for taxes on the fruits. So how do you constitute usufruct? A usufructuary may be constituted, one, by law, two, by the will of private persons expressed in acts inter vivos, number three, by the will of private persons expressed in a last will and testament, and four, by prescription, and that is under Article 563 of the Civil Code. And what are abnormal usufructs? Abnormal usufructs are those where the usufructuary does not have the obligation of preserving the form and substance of the property which is the subject of the usufruct. Thus, according to the following articles in Article 573 and 574. So, in 573, whenever the usufruct includes things which, without being consumed, gradually deteriorate through wear and tear, the usufructuary shall have the right to make use thereon in accordance with the purpose for which they are intended, and shall not be obliged to return them at the termination of the usufruct, except in their condition at that time. But he shall be obliged to indemnify the owner for any deterioration they may have suffered by reason of his fraud or negligence. So remember, any deterioration, reason of based on fraud or negligence, shall be indemnified. That's under Article 573. Under Article 574, still on abnormal usufructs, whenever the usufruct includes things which cannot be used without being consumed, the usufructuary shall have the right to make use of them under the obligation of paying their appraised value at the termination of the usufruct if they were appraised when delivered. In case they were not appraised, they shall have the right to return the same quantity and quality, or pay their current price at the time the usufruct ceases. So that's under Article 574. How about the right of usufructuary to alienate? The usufructuary cannot alienate the thing which is the object of the usufruct. He may, however, alienate his right of usufruct, but this would be possible only if the usufruct is voluntary. Legal usufructs cannot be alienated. Even in voluntary usufructs, there are two exceptional instances where the right cannot be alienated. They are, first, where the usufruct is purely personal, and second, where the usufruct is subject to caution moratoria under 587 of the Civil Code. So remember this term, caution moratoria, under Article 587 of the Civil Code. Let's discuss it later, what is caution or caution moratoria under Article 587 of the Civil Code. The right of usufructuary with regard to improvements. The right of the usufructuary with regard to improvements may be summarized as follows. With respect to necessary expenses, under Article 546 and 612, the usufructuary has the right of reimbursement plus right of retention. So remember, for necessary expenses, the usufructuary has the right of reimbursement plus the right of retention. And the basis is Article 546 and 612. Article 612. How about the right of usufructuary with respect to useful and ornamental expenses? The usufructuary has no right of reimbursement, but he may remove the improvement provided there is no damage to the property. Basis, Article 579, that's the basis. And he may also set off the improvement against any damage to the property. That's Article 580. Article 580. So let's go to caution moratoria, or caution moratoria, spelled as Charlie Alpha Uniform Charlie India Oscar November Caution, and moratoria spelled as Juliet Uniform Romeo Alpha Tango Oscar Romeo India Alpha moratoria. Caution moratoria. Caution moratoria refers to the case contemplated in Article 587 of the Civil Code, whereby a usufructuary, being unable to file the required bond or security, files a verified petition in the proper court asking for the delivery of the house and furniture for himself and his family without any bond or security. The same rule can also be applied to the instruments or tools necessary for an industry or vocation in which the usufructuary is engaged. With respect to repair, for ordinary repairs, the usufructuary is responsible. For extraordinary repairs, the naked owner is responsible. Basis is Article 592 and 593. So, with respect to for ordinary repairs, the usufructuary is responsible. Extraordinary repairs, the naked owner is responsible. How about taxes? For taxes on the fruits, the usufructuary is responsible. For taxes on the capital, the naked owner is responsible. Legal basis, Articles 596 and 597. How do you extinguish a usufruct, or how is usufruct extinguished? Usufruct is extinguished, 1. By the death of the usufructuary, unless a contrary intention clearly appears. Again, the first one is by the death of the usufructuary. 2. By the expiration of the period for which it was constituted, or by the fulfillment of any resolutory condition provided in the title creating the usufruct. So again, the second is by the expiration of the period for which it was constituted, or by the fulfillment of any resolutory condition provided in the title creating the usufruct. So remember the meaning. What is the meaning of resolutory condition? So you have to go back to your obligations and contracts. Once a resolutory condition has been fulfilled, as provided in the title creating the usufruct, then the usufruct is extinguished. It is similar to the expiration of the period for which it was constituted. The third way in which a usufruct is extinguished is by merger of the usufruct and ownership in the same person. That's the third merger. The fourth is that by renunciation of the usufructuary. The fourth is by the renunciation of the usufructuary. The fifth is by the total loss of the thing in usufruct. The fifth is by the total loss of the thing in usufruct. The sixth is by the termination of the right of the person constituting the usufruct. Again, usufruct is extinguished, number six, by the termination of the right of the person constituting the usufruct. And the seventh is by prescription. By prescription. And the basis of these instances in which usufruct is extinguished is Article 603 of the Civil Code. Again, it's under Article 603 of the Civil Code. Problem. X executed a will dividing the naked ownership of a lot, including the building constructed thereon, to A, and the life usufruct of the building to B. After the death of X, A and B leased the property to L. Question: who shall be entitled to the rentals? Second question: suppose that the building is totally destroyed by the fire, is there an extinguishment of the usufruct? With respect to the first question, who shall be entitled to the rentals? Again, the situation is X executed a will devising the naked ownership of a lot, including the building constructed thereon, to A, and the life usufruct of the building to B. After the death of X, A and B leased the property to L. Again, first question, who shall be entitled to the rentals? B shall be entitled to the rentals. Rentals are civil fruits. They constitute earnings of the capital invested in the acquisition of both land and building. True, well, is it true that B was given the life usufruct of the building only, but it is clear that when the testator X constituted the life usufruct, she meant to impose the encumbrance on both building and the land, for indeed the building cannot exist without the land. Okay? While it is true that B was given the life usufruct of the building only, but it is very clear that when that the stator X constituted the life usufruct, she meant to impose the encumbrance on both building and the land, because indeed the building cannot exist without the land. Okay, there can be land without building, but there cannot be no building without land. And the case is Viuda di Albar versus Fabe. Viuda di Albar versus Fabe, 106 Philippines, 855. That's 106 Philippines, 855. Second problem. The second question. Suppose that the building is totally destroyed by a fire. Is there an extinguishment of the usufruct? Remember that usufruct is extinguished, that's number 5, by the total loss of the thing in usufruct. So in our example, suppose that the building is totally destroyed by fire. Is there an extinguishment of the usufruct? Answer, there is no extinguishment of the usufruct. Since the usufruct is constituted not only on the building, but also on the land, then it is not extinguished by the destruction of the building, because under the law, a usufruct is extinguished only by the total loss of the thing in usufruct. By the total loss, remember that, of the thing in usufruct. And that is Article 603, number 5 of the Civil Code. The case, therefore, falls within the purview of Article 607. So refer to Article 7 of your Civil Code, because this is exactly the provision in point. Again, that's Article 607 of the Civil Code, which declares that the usufructuary shall have the right to make use of the land and the materials. This is a temporary measure calculated to keep the usufruct alive until the very thing that has been destroyed is reconstructed or replaced, meaning the building. Until the building is replaced or reconstructed again, then he has a temporary measure of using or the right to make use of the land and the material, and that is under Article 607 of the Civil Code. So that ends our short discussion or lecture on usufruct, and our next topic will be about easements or servitude under Article 613 to 693. Again, our next topic is Article 613 to 693 of the Civil Code, which is about easements or servitudes. So we have just finished discussing usufruct under Articles 562 and 612. So we proceed to Article 613 to 693 of the Civil Code on easements or servitude. So let's go to easements or servitude.